So let's jump right in. Praise God. Father, we thank you for this time that we have together. We welcome your presence here. We welcome the presence of the Holy Spirit here with us this evening. We honor him. Glory to God. We honor him here tonight. And Father, I just yield to him to speak through my mouth and to carry out your will for this service tonight. And dear Lord, we'll be so careful to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. I pray that every person under the sound of my voice will have ears to hear and a heart to receive the word of God. And Father, we will bless you for it. In Jesus' name, everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Excuse me. Hallelujah. All right, let's move right along then. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to the 55th chapter of Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 55. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, in Isaiah chapter 55, look at verse 12. Isaiah 55, verse 12. And the word of God says, "For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands." Amen. Now we look here. Again, I'm reading from the New King James Bible. It says, "For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace." In the King James Version, it says, "You shall be led forth with peace." You shall be led forth with peace. And that'll be my subject tonight, being led forth with peace. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, our job as ministers is, you know, as it says in fivefold ministry, Ephesians chapter 4, I believe it is, it says that God gave some apostles, some prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. And it goes on to say, and we won't turn over there this evening, but it goes on to say the purpose of these ministry gifts, and that's what the Bible calls them, ministry gifts. The purpose of these ministry gifts is to perfect the saints. To perfect the saints. Another word for perfect is mature. Mature the saints. And you know, that's our job, and that's part of my responsibility as a pastor, is to help equip you, help mature you, so that you can have a strong relationship with God. You know, I'm thinking right now of the ministry. Well, let me put it this way: our relationship with God. Jesus said in Matthew, as he was talking to his disciples, he said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." Right? Yeah, that's what he said. He said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. So there's something very evident and very clear that we see in Scripture. Number one, we are supposed to mature in the things of God, and that's supposed to be a continuous thing. A continuous thing. Doesn't matter how old you are, none of us ever get too old to learn. And let me tell you something else. It don't matter if you're 120 when you leave this earth, you still will not have learned it all. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. We will not learn it all, but we are supposed to be in a constant state of maturing and growing in the things of God. And God releases us, or let me say it this way, God uses us based on our level of maturity. God's not going to give us anything we can't handle. Amen. Now, here's the thing, though. Sometimes we think we're more mature than we are, and then we go do things, jump into ministries, or do, you know, stepping into to positions and that we are not even ready for. And any time you're in something that you're not ready for and you hadn't been matured to that level, guess what? Not only are you going to hurt yourself, you're going to hurt somebody else. Let me give you a natural example. A kid behind the steering wheel of an automobile. That kid is not ready. A five-year-old kid, six-year-old kid, and some older than that, they're not ready to drive. That's the reason you have to be a certain age before you can even get a driver's license or a driver's permit. There has to be a certain level of maturity before they'll let you behind a wheel. Out on the highway. Now I'm not talking about in the backyard, down in the field somewhere, you know, where you can't hurt nobody. But I'm talking about getting out on the highway. If you do it, you're going to get in big trouble if you get caught. But sometimes we think that we can just take the things of God and just choose what we want to do and just take it and run with it when we're not ready for it. Y'all still here? Now, I said all that to say this. I'm speaking in terms of the ministry and our service to God twofold. Jesus told them to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel after his death, burial, and resurrection. Matter of fact, he also told them to tarry in Jerusalem until they receive power from on high. In other words, before they went out, they had to be equipped. Now they still had room for maturity. That's the reason the Apostle Paul and Peter had some words, because Peter was being hypocritical in some areas. Yet, he was called of God, he was filled with the Holy Ghost, but he still had to mature in some areas. I think y'all might know what I'm talking about. Paul, you know, he was, when he got with the Gentiles, he acted one way, you know, and friendly and everything, but when the Jews came around, he didn't have anything to do with them, and so Paul had to set him straight on that. Yeah, amen. Praise God. So, we've got to mature so that we can go forth. and do the work of the Lord, to do the work of the ministry. Fulfill the calling of God on our lives. Now, I'm not just talking about preachers. I'm talking about all of God's ministers. That is you. And that is me. The Bible tells us that we've been all called to the ministry of reconciliation. Am I right?
Amen.
Amen. Look at somebody and tell them, say, you have a ministry. Yeah, you have a ministry. If you saved, you got a ministry. If you ain't saved, get saved and grab a hold of your ministry and start growing. Praise the name of the Lord. So we see part of our purpose and ministry in this earth is to reach out and touch others. In whatever form that may be. Sometimes it's giving to others. How many of you know it's a blessing when you give?
Amen.
It's a blessing when you have the opportunity to meet a need. Amen. It's a blessing when you can tell someone about Jesus Christ and his saving grace. And how he can change your life. Every one of us should be able to do that. Amen. And we did this one time a while back, and I'm going to do it again. But we actually had some classes. Man, where we let folk come up and a couple of folk come up and both of them probably were saved, but we let one minister Jesus Christ to them. Everybody need to know how to minister Jesus Christ. Amen. Everybody need to know, because there's some folks not going to get saved at church. Some of them you got to go where they are and get them saved and then invite them to come to church. And if they don't have any transportation, go get them and bring them to church. You're still here. So that's part of our maturing process, and that's part of the ministry that God has called us to, and it's simply called the ministry of reconciliation. Hallelujah. But then there is also the maturing side of it that I talked about earlier. We are to hear the word of God and grow in the things of God. And one of the things, and this is where I'm going with this, and one of the things that's so vital, so very important, that we need to grow in is trusting God. Depending on God, walking in the peace of God. See, I saw this happen. I've seen it happen before, but I saw this happen when this pandemic revealed itself. Back in 2020, some of God's people panicked. You hear me? Let me say it again. Some of God's people panicked. Now, part of my job, as I told you before, part of my job is to equip the saints. I want to deliver the word of God to you so that if something happens unexpectedly, you don't panic.
Amen.
That you don't forget that God is still God. God is still on the throne. Hallelujah. And so we read here in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 12. Let me read it again. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Here's one thing that we must learn to do, is to follow the peace that's on the inside of us. Oh, glory to God. I want you to get that. I want you to get that. Everybody say peace.
Peace.
Say peace of God.
Peace of God.
Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, this is one way that God leads us. That's one way he leads us. We must always remember that we are spiritual beings. And God deals with us spirit to spirit. We're spiritual beings. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. Why don't you tell yourself that? Say, I'm in this world, but I am not of this world. Go say it again. Say it again. One more time. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. We have peace on the inside of us. And we are to learn to follow peace. Matter of fact, guys upstairs, put Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 on the screen for me, please. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Isaiah 9, verse 6. We read this around Christmas time, don't we? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called. Now, he'll call several names. His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father.
Yes.
And what is the last one?
Prince.
Say what?
Prince of Peace.
Prince of Peace.
Yes.
Glory to God. He shall be called Prince of Peace. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now turn in your Bibles to Colossians, the book of Colossians, the third chapter. Colossians, the third chapter. Now, this is one of the letters that the Apostle Paul wrote under the anointing of the Holy Ghost to the church. Colossians chapter 3. Let me see where I want to start. Man, I could read this whole chapter, but I'm trying to find a place that I just want to jump in. I'll just jump in at verse 12, all right? It says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, say, that's me.
That's me.
Hallelujah. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Now look at verse 15. Look at verse 15. And this is talking to us now. And let. Hallelujah. And let. Now we're at verse 15. Hallelujah. Go ahead and put it on the screen for me. Verse 15. Colossians 3, verse 15. And I'll go ahead and read. And let. Now, I'm repeating that. Anytime I repeat something, there's a reason for it. And let. Why would it say let? You got something to do with it. You can choose to do it, or you can choose not to. And listen, and let the what? And let the peace of God do what? One word. Stop right there. And let the peace of God rule. Where? In your heart. You're facing something, make a decision. I'm going to let the peace of God rule in this situation. I am going to follow peace. I am going to be led forth with peace. God already knows that we're going to face things in life that's bigger than we are. But he already provided an answer for us. And let the peace of God rule. Now, that word rule is act as umpire. Hallelujah. Act as umpire. In any game, sports, speaking along the lines of sports, in any sports game, the umpire calls the shots, don't he? Am I right? The umpire calls the shots. The umpire decides how it's going to be. Where we are told to let the peace of God umpire in our hearts, rule in our hearts. In other words, be led by the peace of God from the inside in your heart. Because, see, you have to understand, our minds, you know, it's up and down. It's up and down. It's up and down. And so we have to get to the place where we draw from the inside. And we allow the peace of God to direct what we do, how we think, what we say about any given situation. And that's exactly what he said. He said, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were what? called in one body and be thankful. Glory to God. Now, verse 16. Put it on the screen for me. Verse 16. Now notice in verse 15, it says, let the peace of God rule, act as umpire in your heart. But how is that going to happen? How is that going to happen? Well, he tells us in verse 16, let what? Whoa. Let what? Let the word of Christ do what? In you how?
Richly.
In abundance. Led by the abundance of the word. Hallelujah. Let peace rule in your heart, it says. And then it says, you let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And I love this. In all wisdom. And what are we supposed to be doing? Now, when we walk in the peace of God, that's bringing comfort to us, isn't it? Amen. Yeah. That brings comfort, assurance, and so forth to us. But it doesn't stop with us. You have to understand, it's not all about us. It's not all about me. It's not all about you. What did it say? It said teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's the reason I love praise and worship. But we're supposed to admonish one another. I was reading this, and I thought, wow, this verse 16 from the Passion Translation, I happen to be reading that, and I want to read it to you, verse 16. Let the word of Christ live in you richly, flooding you with all wisdom. Apply the scriptures as you teach and instruct one another with the psalms and with festive praises. You ready for this one? And with prophetic songs given to you spontaneously by the Spirit. So sing to God with all your heart. Brother, listen, let me tell you something. I know things have changed, but I know people do things different now. You know, and I'm talking about when it comes to worship services and everything. But let me tell you something. There's some things we don't need to lose. See, some folks don't even allow tongues in their services anymore because they're afraid it'll offend somebody. Especially somebody with a lot of money. They're concerned that they'll get offended and leave the church. But you know, we're told flooding you with all wisdom. Apply the scriptures as you teach and instruct one another with the psalms and with festive praises, with prophetic songs given to you spontaneously by the Spirit. You don't hear much about that anymore. I remember reading and actually hearing him talk about it, Brother Kenneth Hagin Sr., talk about believers' meetings, where the believers would get together and they would just praise and worship God. One would have a song, another would have a word from the Lord or whatever, but believers just get together and just worship the Lord. It's not an atmosphere where the unbeliever would get confused. We're talking about spirit-filled believers' meetings. And I want to tell you something. We need to have more of those where just take some time where the people of God get together and allow the Holy Ghost to saturate the place. Some have a song. Another may have a prophecy or a word from the Lord, and where the believers get together in the presence of the Lord and just let him have his way. Amen. See, we're missing that. We're missing that. I can remember in the early days of this ministry and downtown in our little 25-foot wide storefront building, and literally 25 feet wide, and storefront building. And this was on one of our Saturday night meetings, and we was praising and worshiping God, and Rosa, you was there, and I forgot you was leading a song. You remember the song you was leading? Do you? I hear, what? Run through the troops, leap over the wall. You remember that one? When I get through, I see my enemies fall. Well, you was leading that song that night, and we was all worshiping God. And the strangest thing happened. We were worshiping God, worshiping the Lord, and all of a sudden, it got quiet. This was not planned. Now, we had babies in the church, and they would cry, or young kids, you know how children are. They're going to be children. But it got quiet in there, and all of us, we were standing in the presence of the Lord. The babies didn't cry. The kids didn't act up. It was silence in that church. How long? Was it a half hour? I don't. It was a good while. Where all we did was just stand in the presence of the Lord. And I want to tell y'all something. Man, we saw miracles happen, man. Folk getting healed. Folk getting saved. I remember, and this was earlier than that, but when we were in society here, I remember some of y'all that was with me probably remember this. Miss Lily, she's not here tonight, but she brought her son up, and he had these bumps all over him, blister type things, all over his body. And she brought him up and asked me to pray for him. And so that's what we did. And a few of us that was there just stretched our hands towards him. I laid my hands on him and prayed for him, and he went back to his seat. And I continued to minister the word of God. And later on, she came back to me. She brought him back to me. And listen to this. Every one of those blisters had burst. Every one of them burst. Glory to God. We need to see a move of God here in America again. God didn't change. We did. Hallelujah. I could go on and on and on and tell you about miracles that people received. But we took time to worship God. We took time for Him. Can I tell you something? If you would take time for God, let me rephrase that. If we would take time for God, He'll certainly take time for us. And folk are praying for a move of God. I'm here to tell you, God wants to move. But we have to understand that if God moves, or when God moves, it's going to be on His terms. Which means then we got to do what we should be doing. We got to spend time with Him. We've got to get in the Word of God and let the Word of God dwell in us richly. So that we are so full of the Word of God that if a brother or sister have a need, the Spirit of God, we're so full of the Word of God that the Spirit of God may speak to us and say, go minister the Word to that sister, go minister the Word to that brother and get them set free. You have to understand, it's not all about us. Yes, we are led forth with peace. Thank God for His peace that keeps us and sustained us, but we also should be ready to minister to somebody else. Are you still here? Our prayer should be, Lord, use me and help me and show me how I can get in a better position for You to use me. Hallelujah. You know what Jesus did? You want to know what Jesus did? He came, died for us, rose again, took our sins, our sicknesses, by His stripes we're healed. He did all that for us to get us delivered. But then He told us to go do what He did. He told us to lay hands on the sick and they would be healed. Yeah, Pastor, you know, I sure believe that. And matter of fact, I seen that in the Bible. Yeah, it's there. But notice what it didn't say. It didn't say only ordained preachers. It said believers. They that believe shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Remember, I told you, we are ministers of reconciliation. Every one of you are ministers. Some folk don't believe in women ministers. Well, you too late. We've all been given the ministry of reconciliation. We all are supposed to lay hands on the sick. We all supposed to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our primary job as fivefold ministers is to mature the saints, to get the saints ready to go back out to the field and reap the harvest. The church shouldn't be the only place where folk get hands laid on them. Hallelujah. I learned how to minister outside the church long before I became a preacher. Y'all surprised me some years back. It's been a few years back now, with a brother that I led to the Lord in Goldsboro, North Carolina, in the shop that I was working in. It's a big old iron anvil sitting back on the table. And he was from Mississippi, and had quite a mouth. Yeah. And I talked to him about Jesus, Felt like I was a ball bouncing off a brick wall. Don't ever think that what you're telling people is not getting through to them. One morning he came to me before anybody else got in the shop. I was there and he was there in the shop. He came to me and told me, he said, he called me Red. You know, Redfern was a long name, so most everybody called me Red. He said, Red, I want to get saved. I thought to myself, you've got to be kidding me. And I'd been witnessing to him all this time. It didn't seem like nothing was happening. But he came to me that morning, and he says, I'm ready to get saved. We walked back to the back of the shop, standing right beside the anvil, that big old iron anvil there. And he gave his life to Jesus Christ. And some of you were here. He came and visited us one Sunday. Matter of fact, y'all invited him and he surprised me. I think it was Pastor's Appreciation, I believe it was. And he surprised me. But let me tell you something. Don't ever get frustrated. Just continue to share Jesus. Because that's part of our calling. Amen? Hallelujah. All righty. Well, I'm about ready to quit because y'all know me. I usually don't finish a message and in one service. Is that all right? Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. But I want you to understand that we are to be led forth by peace, and we are to do what it says in Colossians chapter 15 and then Colossians chapter 16. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let it act as umpire. Be led forth with peace. But in order for that to work effectively, also understand that we must let the word of God dwell in our hearts richly. Don't ever think that your Bible reading is useless. Stop walking by your feelings. That's where us Christians miss it sometimes. We think because I don't feel nothing, nothing didn't happen. Don't walk by your feelings. We walk by faith. Amen. When you read the Word of God, whatever it says about you, you receive that by faith, whether you feel like it or not. Amen. Now, so some of us grew up in, you know, different type of churches. Some churches, you know, folk jerk a little bit. Ain't nothing wrong with jerking. I mean, if the anointing of God hits you, something got to move. But you don't depend on a jerk. Amen. You receive the word of God by faith. And I'm closing now. We'll probably revisit this again because I got some other things that I want to tell you. But here's what I want to leave you with where I began. Remember, doesn't matter what happens, around you, you be led forth with the peace of God. And don't forget, in the middle of it all, share Jesus and the love of God with someone else. Are you here? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you tonight. We bless you tonight. Thank you, Father, for that peace that you give us, that you gave to us, that passes all understanding. No matter what we're going through, no matter what we face, no matter what come down the pipe, may we let your peace rule in our hearts. Let your peace act as umpire in our hearts. Hallelujah. And if we follow you, we're going to be all right. Everything is going to work out just fine because we're followers of Jesus Christ. We're followers of the Word of God. We're doers of the Word of God. Thank you, Father. Now, I'm speaking to the live streaming audience.